They are called the Three Sisters. They start with seeds that we can hold in our hand. One is a golden triangle of corn. Another is a glossy bean seed, speckled brown, marked with a white eye. And then there is the squash seed, shaped like an oval china dish. Together, these plants, corn, beans, squash, feed the people, feed the land, and feed our imaginations with a way we can live. For centuries, these seeds have been planted together in the same foot of mounded soil. Each seed has its own cycle of growth. The corn seed takes on water quickly with its thin seed coat. The pasture triggers enzymes under the skin that fuel the growth of the corn embryo. Thus, the corn is the first to emerge from the ground, all alone, while the others get ready. The bean seed drinks in water, and when its coat bursts, it goes downward, sending a root into the ground. Only after the root is secure does the bean stem begin to find its way above the ground. Beans take more time to find the light because they can. Their leaves are already packaged in the seed itself. Once they break the soil, they join the corn on the surface. The corn is already 6 inches tall. Squash takes its time. It may be weeks before their stems poke through the surface of the ground and break free. But the slow timing does not need to be hurried along, because the pace of each plant's growth is important to the success of the crop. The corn grows straight up. It grows tall quickly. The beans start with a pair of heart-shaped leaves on the stub of a stem, low to the ground, until the corn is about knee height, and then the bean shoot begins to start to extend a long vine. And the vine starts to circle and circle in the air until the tip finds what it needs, a corn stem for vertical support. The vine wraps itself around the corn in a graceful upward swirl and keeps pace with the growth of the corn in growing tall. If the timing is right and the corn has a head start, the corn can easily carry the bean. Meanwhile, the squash extends itself over the ground, moving away from the corn and the beans, also sheltering the soil at the base, keeping moisture in and other plants out. At the height of summer, the plants together show forth balance and harmony, the corn at 8 feet, with leaves that curl away from the stem, so that they can gather light without shadowing the others. The bean winds around the corn stalk, but does not interfere with the corn. And in the spaces where there are no corn leaves, buds appear on the bean vines, and flowers begin to grow. The squash vine at the base uses the light that falls between the corn pillars, and the organic symmetry speaks for itself. The placement, the shapes, speak a message of supporting one another, bringing your gift, and support the gift of the other, and there will be enough for all. Acre for acre, the three-sister garden yields more food than if you grew each plant alone. Each one gives and receives from the other. The corn makes light available. The squash reduces weeds. And what of the beans? The beans have roots that have the remarkable ability to take nitrogen from the atmosphere and turn it into usable nutrients. This acts as a fertilizer that feeds and fuels the growth of the corn and the squash. Each plant does what it does to grow for itself, yet remarkably, as the individuals flourish, so does the whole. And incredibly, the three also work together at the harvest. For on the table, they taste good, and they form a nutritional triad that has sustained people for generations. For corn is a form of starch, beans are high in protein, and squash provides vitamins that are not found in the others. Yes, the garden feeds the human community and would not be if it were not for the human planter who is essential to the mix by turning the soil, by making the mound, and planting the seeds. Humans cannot live without them, but they cannot live without us. It's a mutual give and take relationship. The gifts of each of the plants and of the planter and the harvester are shown in the relationship one to another. Life emerges in this reciprocity. And so it is with God. On this day we call Holy Trinity, we try and get our minds around the separate person of God unified together. Father, Son, and Spirit separate yet one, intertwined in a harmony and a balance and a reciprocity that feed us and make us whole. Each person of the three has a purpose. Each person is sustained by the other. How do we imagine this? Most of the time in church, we focus on Jesus, the easiest one to picture because of his humanity. But Jesus shows us God, and Jesus is part of a unity with the Creator who brings all things into being. and a spirit who renews and restores life in all creation, who consoles and inspires and brings faith and comes like the wind and the water in unpredictable ways. These three in one provide nourishment for human life to receive and give back in a relationship of reciprocity. I like this word, reciprocity. It's fun to say, but it means also that we receive, that there's a life-giving in giving and receiving, the back and forth of needing each other and receiving what others have to give as we offer ourselves. Reciprocity is a different reality than one that we are sold on a daily basis. We're so often told that it is one person has to do it all, or be the right one, or be the winner. But this reality of the three sisters of the God three in one is a reality where three together present a harmony and make for a life that none could do alone. This three in one gives room for mystery, for unknowing, for humility, that we may stand one with another, watching the interplay of God in the world in ways that make more of us as humans and draw us together instead of apart. Holy Trinity means that even God doesn't stand alone. The Father is not a God alone on the throne. The Son, Jesus, does not walk alone through the world. The Spirit is part of a mutual give and take of which we all are a part. God is gift received and gift shared in wondrous ways. Luther used to say that one of the ways we humans discover our vocation, our purpose in the world, is to look around at our relationships. He said, if you are born as a child in this world, be a child. Love the people who have birthed you. If you are a parent, be a parent. If you are a husband or wife, be a partner. Be a neighbor. Be in relationship to that which you already are. A co-worker, part of the body of Christ. To live in that relationship fully, in reciprocity. To live in harmony with where you who you are and who you've been called to be in the place where you have found yourself. This is to live in the vision and imagination and the harmony of the three in one. It is here that gratitude begins. We are free to be who and what we are, to be part of something, God's harmony, joined by love. May gratitude guide us. May gratitude free us. May gratitude take us into deeper and wider faith and love. Thanks be to God. Amen.